is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Well, when Albert Mohler is away, things get a little crazy around here on the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I want to say to you today, if you think Luke, I am your father is a Bible verse, then this is the show for you, because today we're going to talk about Star Wars and the Star Wars phenomenon and how we're to relate to that as Christians. And there are lots of you out there in churches, in communities, who are trying to sort through the whole Star Wars mythology and how do you relate this to the Christian gospel. Give me a call and let me know how you're doing it. Or is Star Wars something that is just completely anti-Christian that we should have nothing to do with? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we're going to be talking today about Jedis, Ewoks, droids, the Force, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the other day, I was going to take my 2 4-year-old sons to go see Madagascar, this little animated movie that's out right now. But on the way there, I decided, you know, I don't want to see Madagascar. I want to see Star Wars, Revenge of the Sith. And so I said to my 4-year-old sons, you want to see Star Wars? Yeah. So we went, and we went into the Star Wars movie. One of them fell immediately to sleep, and the other was completely enthralled. And so while these lightsaber fights were going on, as a matter of fact, Benjamin stood up and yelled out in this loud voice, just this whoop of wonder at watching this fighting going on. He didn't know what was happening, except that there was fighting and there was, in his words, fire. Now, all the while, I'm sitting there, a friend of mine and I are sitting there watching the movie and really rolling our eyes through a lot of it. Because if you haven't seen Revenge of the Sith yet, one of the things that you need to keep in mind is that it is filled, absolutely filled, with postmodern moralism and also just with cheesy dialogue. I mean, when you try to have romance in a Star Wars movie, it's going to fall flat. So when you have lines like, just hold me the way that you did out by Lake Babu before all of the warfare and the fighting began, yeah, come on, that it really falls flat, and did in this movie also. But you have to admit, when you're watching this, I had a little bit of the same reaction that my son Benjamin had. You almost want to stand up during these lightsaber fights against the Empire and say, yeah, go to it. Now, one of the things that was very interesting in the midst of all of the Star Wars phenomenon in this particular movie was this Zen Jedi approach to life that George Lucas, the filmmaker, has. And it's riddled all throughout the movie. For one thing, you have blatantly political statements that are present everywhere in the film. So that you have, I mean, you don't have to be a political scientist to know that the Chancellor, who becomes an emperor, is really sitting in for George W. Bush. And so you have, again, cheesy dialogue. This is how we lose our freedom, through the thunderous applause of the masses, or some such thing going on. But you also have in here a really key opening to the gospel of Jesus Christ, simply in analyzing how silly George Lucas actually is in this movie. He can't live up to what he says he believes. Now, many of you know, you've read Dr. Mohler's article about the Star Wars mythology and so forth. You know that what George Lucas is doing is picking up on Joseph Campbell, who was a pop Jungian psychologist, mythologist from several years ago, who came up with the really profound statement, follow your bliss. Now, what Campbell did when he's talking to George Lucas is to give him this really Eastern understanding of truth and an Eastern understanding of morality, which Lucas then packaged into the mythology of Star Wars. And you see this very, very clearly in the latest movie, because one of the things that is said by a Jedi Knight is only Siths deal in absolutes. Now, that's packaged alongside an entire worldview in which you have a light side of the Force and you have a dark side of the Force. And in the entire course of the movie, what the individuals are trying to do is to bring about what they call balance in the Force, in which you have both light and darkness balancing one another out. And you think of, for instance, the yin-yang in Eastern philosophy and Eastern religion. Now, that is, of course, completely contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As the Apostle John tells us in 1 John, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That is an explicitly theological statement that we know is not true. But it gives us an opportunity to talk to people who believe like this. Let me just tell you, George Lucas is not alone. He's a gifted filmmaker, but George Lucas represents millions of people in the United States of America who really believe that, that you have a sense of an impersonal force that's holding everything together, and that you have to have a balance. There are no absolutes. There is no real morality. There is no real truth. We kind of make it up as we go along. But you know what? Columnist Terry Mattingly pointed out something that I think is very interesting. Even George Lucas doesn't believe that. Because you'll notice what Lucas has done is in the new repackaging of the old Star Wars trilogy, he's made a change. He went back and took the scene where Han Solo, the hero of the earlier movies, shot a guy point blank, shot first. And George Lucas went back and changed that to where Han Solo is now defending himself. He's not the first one to pull a gun. Well, the question that goes to George Lucas is, why would you do that? And he says, well, I want to redeem Han Solo. I don't want him to be a bad guy. Well, if you believe what George Lucas says he believes, then there's no such thing as a bad guy. There just needs to be balance. How is it that George Lucas can deal in absolutes in saying that killing an innocent man is somehow wrong? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because George Lucas is wrong about an impersonal force. Instead, we have in the Bible this understanding that John tells us that there's a logos, there's a word, there's an organizing principle that is inherently personal. And that logos, that word, has become enfleshed as Jesus of Nazareth, the creator of all things and the one who, as Paul says, holds all things together. And what it means, if that's the case, exactly what the Apostle Paul says to the church at Rome, that means that there is a conscience that no one is able to get rid of. No one is able to smother this conscience. You can't escape this sense of morality, no matter how you try to toy with it, no matter how you try to mask it behind Eastern religions, it's always going to be there. So George Lucas knows that killing an innocent man is wrong, and so he's going to change it. He's going to make sure that Han Solo is still a hero because he knows what a hero is. Everybody knows what a hero is. Now, this is the other thing that I think can really help us. When we have movies like Star Wars and all of these different pop culture emphases on heroes, you've got a sense within every human being that there's a war going on. You know, we talked about this yesterday. We had the caller on Ask Anything Wednesday who was calling about alien abductions. There's a reason why people want to believe in things like this. There's a reason why my little boy jumps up and shouts when he sees a lightsaber fight. It's because built into him, there is the understanding that there's something wrong in the world, and what you need is someone to come into the world and fight that evil. I mean, think about the way that even in the Star Wars movies, this is laid out. You've got the people waiting for the Chosen One. They think that this Chosen One is Anakin Skywalker, who's going to be anointed with the Force, but instead, it's not him. He's an anti-Christ figure. You have another one who is coming along who is anointed to slay the evil one. Now, George Lucas gets it all wrong, and so do so many other mythologies, but the question comes down to what C.S. Lewis asked a long time ago: why do people want to have stories like this? Why do they want to have myths like this? Maybe because there's a story like this that's really true. Story of Jesus Christ. What do you think? How do you engage the teenager or maybe the 40-year-old man in your community who's enraptured with Star Wars, he's buying into this worldview, but he doesn't understand the gospel? How do we share the gospel in a Star Wars age? And what does the Star Wars phenomenon tell us about what people are thinking about the future, about themselves, about morality, about religion? Join the conversation. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Should we even engage with pop culture at this level, talking about Star Wars and science fiction? Or should we say, that's just for the pagans, let's just worry about the Bible? Let me know what you think. 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Well, you can tell that Albert Mohler is out of town. We not only have Star Wars, we have Star Wars rap. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Today we're talking about Star Wars. Maybe some of you out there wearing your Stormtrooper outfits right now, swinging your plastic lightsabers, and you want to join this conversation. Maybe some of you out there who are rolling your eyes saying, what in the world does Star Wars have to do with a Christian worldview? I want to invite both of you, all of you, give us a call, 877-893-8255.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Indeed, we would. Please give us a call and join the conversation. We have Jim on the line. Jim, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you very much.
What's your thought today?
Well, I had two thoughts. One, I just wanted to say for enjoyment purposes, I was one of those that was wide-eyed and about wanting to start hollering whenever the lightsaber fights came on.
Well, sure. You're a guy.
Me and several of my collegiate friends, as I graduated this last year, we were very much looking forward to it, just for the simple fact that we enjoy those kind of adventures and warfares and stuff like that, whether it be Chronicles of Narnia or Star Wars.
Oh, sure. I mean, every man, I think, enjoys seeing something explode. I really think that there's something built in within us that just likes to see things blown up.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I thought, though, for intellectual conversation, you had mentioned earlier, the only part of the movie, I went into it expecting bad acting.
Yeah.
We sort of have come to realize that's going to happen in the newer trilogy. The old one was the exact opposite, little action and good acting, but now we had to settle for the less. But
you had that creepy brothers and sisters having a romance at the beginning, you know, that kind of thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, what I was thinking, though, is when Obi-Wan and Anakin were about to fight, you had said that Obi-Wan looked at Anakin and said that only Sith deal in absolutes.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Hollywood culture just does not understand that when you state an absolute truth, you yourself are taking up an absolute truth. It's just the same as saying there is no absolute truth. You've made an absolute statement.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was sort of great because they were saying, well, our way is the only way. And because someone else said, no, our way is the only way, therefore they were wrong because they said that.
Yeah, it's like the old Cretan paradox. The Cretan poet says all Cretans are liars. I mean, that's exactly what you have going on here. Only a Sith deals in absolutes. You're right, Jim. That's an absolute statement. And that really fits in with not just Eastern religion. That fits in with contemporary American worldview about almost anything except whether or not you ought to tolerate other viewpoints. Good point. We have Matthew, who is listening. Matthew, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello. Nice to talk with you.
Good to talk to you. What's your thought today?
Well, I just wanted to illustrate something about George Lucas's maybe confusion regarding his own prophecy about the Chosen One.
Okay.
And that has to do with the first trilogy, not the original, but the 1, 2, 3 episodes.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, I just ran upstairs.
Okay.
They talk about how the Chosen One's going to bring balance. And you talked about that earlier, about light and dark, and there was a balance.
Yeah.
Then you fast forward to Return of the Jedi, and the balance actually turns out to be that there is no more dark. There's only light.
Yeah. Yeah.
So actually, he might be stretching for something there as far as, you know, he talks a big game as far as all the things that you've already discussed. But then in the end, even he knows that lightness prevailed.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, Matthew, that's the case with all people everywhere. One of the things that you have at the core of who human beings are is an eschatology, is a sense of we really want everything to turn out all right, however we're defining all right to be. And there's really no way that you could end this mythological series with a balance between darkness and light and still have these figures be heroic, because it wouldn't appeal to human beings, and that's who he's trying to appeal to. We have Keith, who is listening in Indiana. Keith, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
How you doing?
All right. Welcome to the program.
Well, first of all, I want to emphasize this by saying I'm a conservative Christian.
Okay.
I've also been a big fan of the Star Wars series since 1977 when I was 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
It's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a series of movies. It's entertainment. It's one man's idea of sitting down and saying, what would I like to see on a film? What would be fun to watch?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? For anyone to try to derive symbolism out of it, you've got to really look at where a lot of it come from. George Lucas is a phenomenal filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he does derives from the past. He has a love of speed, hence the pod racing and the speeder bikes. The Jedis were actually based upon the ancient samurai culture. The name Jedi came from a World War II military unit. I mean, a lot of this stuff. And there's one comment that I heard on another radio program a few days ago. Actually, it was right before the movie came out, where they were using, like, George Bush's words against, I think it's where the Anakin says, you're either with us or you're against us.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's actually a line from Ben-Hur.
Mm-hmm.
So if
and before that, it's a line from Jesus. So we really can trace it all the way back there. But Keith, I disagree with you when you tell me it's only a movie and it's just one man's imagination, because George Lucas himself says that's not the case. George Lucas has said in interviews that what he's trying to do is to give a worldview that he has learned from Joseph Campbell, and he's really seeking to evangelize with his understanding of the gospel. That's his understanding of what he's doing. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy Star Wars. I enjoy Star Wars. I saw the first movie when I was 5 years old, 1977, and have enjoyed everyone. No, I didn't enjoy Episode 1 and Episode 2. They were garbage and trash. But all the others, I really enjoyed, and the question comes down to, why did I enjoy them? It's because George Lucas is not able to be consistent with his worldview at all, and because you have to be discerning when you go into these movies. Now, what I would be concerned about is sending a child or a teenager into one of these movies and not even talking about it, and simply letting the Lucas worldview, which is the American worldview, just continue to seep on in into these children. That's why I'm not one of these people. You know, I posted on my website a few days ago and on the Touchstone Magazine website an article about taking my boys to see Star Wars, and I had a lady email me just furious that I would take my four-year-old sons to see a violent movie, and I responded to her by saying, you know, I really, the reason I did that is because I'm aiming to raise violent sons. Not violent in the sense of Grand Theft Auto or in the sense of an urban carjacker, but in the sense of someone who understands that the world is about warfare, about taking up not a lightsaber, but the sword of the Spirit to destroy the spirit of the age through the proclamation of the gospel, through self-control, through the living out of a godly life. How are you helping to engage the culture in your own church, in your own community, to kind of push back the Star Wars worldview and to recapture the very thing that makes Star Wars fun, which is a warfare worldview in which, yeah, you have something blowing up. It's not a Death Star. It's the kingdom of Satan. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know, how do we as Christians engage with Star Wars, science fiction, pop culture, and do it in a way that we're winsome, in a way that we're able to engage contemporary culture with what they're already talking about? And let me tell you, they're talking about good versus evil. There's gospel in there. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mueller. We'll be right back.
to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Jedis, Ewoks, and droids, oh my. We have Star Wars fever sweeping the United States of America. Well, sweeping the world. My assistant here with me today watched the Star Wars movie in India while he was there on a mission trip. It's everywhere, all over the planet. And you have George Lucas really exporting an understanding of good and evil that we as Christians need to sit down and listen to and say, what is he trying to say, and why does this resonate with so many people, and how are we going to engage it? I want you to join the conversation. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let's talk about Star Wars and the gospel. We have Fritz on the line. Fritz, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Fritz, are you there? I guess Fritz is on the Fritz today. What Fritz is calling, asking about, as I noticed on the screen, he says, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with the gospel because Star Wars is about good versus evil, and the gospel is not about good versus evil. It's about redemption. Fritz, I have to completely disagree with you, absolutely, completely, in the strongest terms possible, disagree with you, and tell you, read the Bible. Read the storyline of the Bible. What you have from the very beginning is a serpent that God promises there's going to be a seed of the woman who's going to crush your head. And then you get all the way to the end when the Apostle John takes and shows you the whole picture of redemption. And what does he show you in Revelation chapter 12? It's a dragon who is seeking to eat the child of the woman, but the child of the woman destroys him. And now the accuser of our brothers is bound. He is defeated. He is destroyed. I mean, that's good versus evil. Yes, it's good versus evil in Jesus taking on our guilt and taking on our sin at the cross. But the reason he's doing that is because, as the writer of Hebrews says, we're being held in captivity by our sin. We're in slavery to the evil one, to the devil. I think the gospel is absolutely about good versus evil. And I think that's why we all like to watch movies, and we all like to read novels, and we all like to listen to songs about things that have to do with good versus evil. We all know there's a battle going on out there, and we all have the sense that we're part of it, even people who are atheists. We have Mark, who is calling in today. Mark, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, Dr. Moore.
Hello. What's your question today?
Well, I heard you mention earlier that you took your four-year-old sons to the movie, and I guess I was just curious at what you thought a good age threshold is to view the original films, and then especially this latest one, which was the first one to be rated PG-13.
Well, I think that has to really fall under parental responsibility. I think that a parent really has to check out what's involved in a movie, and I think a parent has to be willing to then talk to the kids about that movie. Now, I checked out this movie beforehand. I knew that the violence there was not something that's going to keep them awake. I mean, there's not images of dead bodies flying through the air. It's cartoonish type violence. That's the reason it was rated PG-13. I knew there was not going to be any sexual activity or nudity. I wouldn't have gone to see it myself had there been. But I also knew that I was going to have to talk to them after and explore what about this movie is right and what about this movie is not right. And I think that that's what parents have to do in any case. You know, this is only the second movie my kids have seen. The first movie was The Polar Express, which was this movie about, oh, Christmas is within you, and if you just look within your heart, yes, Virginia, there's a Santa Claus. Now, I repented after that movie of taking my boys to see this because it was sappy, sentimental, Hallmark garbage. I mean, there was no redeeming value to this thing except kind of the cool animation, seeing Tom Hanks as a cartoon figure and all of that kind of thing. But there was no redeeming value with my kids. With this one, I could say, look, this was wrong, and this was morally wrong. The Bible tells us not to do these things. This is bad, and these things are good. Fighting for your bride is a good thing. That's exactly what Jesus has done for you and for me and for the entire world. It sparks a conversation. So I think really that just comes down to parents who are willing to be shepherds of their families and to check out movies beforehand. I mean, I wouldn't take my kids to see anything that I wasn't aware of what's going to take place in that movie beforehand. But then you sit down and you have a conversation. Maybe I'm crazy. What do you think? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Join the conversation, Star Wars. How are you going to engage a culture that's enraptured with things like Star Wars with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I mean, think about it. How are you going to make a Sunday school lesson or a vacation Bible school training or a Sunday morning sermon riveting to people who like lightsaber fights? Give us a call. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be right back.
This is the Nick Winters Show, and I do the entertaining. Thank you. Let's go out with something really hot for these folks. A big hit out of 77. Ah, Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars. Give me the Star Wars. Don't let them end.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. Albert Mohler is never going to go out of town again. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and today we are talking about Star Wars and the Christian gospel. We want you to join the conversation. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Bill, who is listening in Tampa, Florida on WTBN. Bill, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. What's your question today?
I have a good question. How come we're talking about this today? I mean, there's just a lot more to talk about than worrying about a Star Wars movie. That's my personal opinion. That's really all I got to say, sir.
Okay. Well, Bill, I think you're wrong about that precisely because you've got an entire country enraptured with Star Wars right now. And if as Christians we're going to speak to them, I think one of the crucial aspects of being worldview Christians is listening to what is going on in the culture. I mean, I think that's exactly what you have going on at the Areopagus in Acts 17. The Apostle Paul walks in to Athens. He's looking around and he's evaluating what's going on in that culture and why. I think if the Apostle Paul were in contemporary America, he would stand up and say, I have seen Revenge of the Sith, and even your own cultural icons say, fill in the blank. And what you think about what the Apostle Paul did in the Areopagus, a lot of people think in Acts 17, well, the Apostle Paul is there building a bridge. That's not at all what the Apostle Paul is doing. Instead, he comes in and stands up and says, look, I've looked at your culture. I've listened to your poets. I've listened to your music. I've looked at your architecture. And I can tell you, you don't really believe what you say you believe. I think that is absolutely necessary for the Christian church to stand up to a youth culture that has absorbed all of these worldviews that are coming from the East and coming from elsewhere that's been repackaged in the Star Wars mythology, and yet they don't really believe it. They can't really live like that. Not even George Lucas can live that way. And we need to, as Christians, be able to explain why that is. We have Zach, who is calling in. Zach, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
How are you doing, Dr. Mohler?
I'm doing great. What's your question today?
I just wanted to make the statement that I see a lot of similarities between the Force and our faith as Christians.
What's that?
Looking back on it, we've watched both Luke grow up in the Force in 4, 5, and 6, and then in the new trilogy, we watched Anakin grow up from a very young boy.
Mm-hmm.
To becoming Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
And both took a great amount of faith. Luke said in Episode 5 in Empire Strikes Back when he's training with Yoda, he goes, I don't believe it. And Yoda goes, that's exactly why you failed.
Hmm.
And as we watch them all grow up, it's those who believe are those who succeed. And as we look at the faith of Christianity, we see the same thing. I mean, if you don't believe, you're not going to feel it. Also, it's not a tangible thing. You can't reach out and touch it. it's something that you have to sincerely believe in.
Yeah, you know, the problem with that is I think that you can press that way too far because you have, for instance, people trying to compare the Force with the Holy Spirit. Well, the Force is by definition impersonal and can go either way, darkness or light. We need to be careful to say that is not the way the Spirit is. The Spirit's not an E. The Spirit is a He. But also the very idea of the Force as feeling, you know, you think about Yoda saying constantly, use your feelings, Luke, all of the time, that kind of thing. And you think about even Anakin speaking in that way. I'm just trusting my feelings. I'm listening to my feelings. I mean, there's a lot of evangelical Christians who talk that way about the Holy Spirit when the religion that we have, the faith that we have, is not built upon feelings. It's built upon something else. It's built upon truth. It's built upon looking away from ourselves and looking toward a crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ and banking everything upon Him and His triumph over sin. So I think you're right. There may be some comparisons there, but we want to be very careful to say this is where the differences are. We have Nathan, who is listening in Birmingham, Alabama. Nathan, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, Dr. Moore.
Hey.
You had me just rolling yesterday. It was so funny. Anyway, I just wanted to say something about this. Just another influence by Hollywood, really, to distort our views of good and evil. In efforts really to dodge the conviction that's really in us naturally of that gives us our sense of conviction.
Well, where do you see that in this movie, Nathan?
Well, it's kind of falls along the lines of other type movies that are out right now that deal with good and evil,
mm-hmm.
and how Hollywood depicts more the evil character, or per se the bad guy as the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily saying it's done in Star Wars, but Hollywood is such an influence that it's really distorted the views of America.
Yeah, that's true. Although I'll have to say, Nathan, I'm really one of the things that I am pleased with in this movie is the Darth Vader figure. The way that you take someone who is a hero, Anakin Skywalker, and he morphs into this evil figure, I think that tells us something that is very true and truer than maybe some of the old black and white movies where you had the bad guy who wore the black hat and he's always been a bad guy. I mean, he was born spitting on his mother and that kind of thing. That's not the way that sin actually is. Sin, instead, is much more like what we see in the Star Wars movie of someone who looks innocuous, who looks innocent, who is giving over to the darkness within, a darkness that is present universally. So in that sense, I think that kind of moral ambiguity actually fits better with the Christian gospel than the old shoot 'em ups. I mean, you think about, for instance, what's going on in the Bible. You've got characters that are present who are not characters. These are historical figures, but historical figures who are partially good and yet at the root evil. They're at the root evil because they have a sinful nature. So you think about Judas, for instance. You have Judas walking with Jesus, preaching the gospel, casting out demons. He's there with him. He hugs him. He watches him washing out his beard in the morning. He watches him eating fish in the afternoon. He listens to the Sermon on the Mount. And in the end, he wants those 30 pieces of silver, and he's willing to give that up, even at the point of a conscience that leaves him drowning in his own intestines. That's something that is true about every human being. I think this movie picked up on it. What do you think? Give us a call, 877-893-8255. We're talking about Star Wars, a warfare worldview, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
That's where we found this boy. Oh my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and today we're talking about Star Wars, nothing less than Star Wars. And I have some people on the line who want to talk to me about that. We have Jake, who is listening in Cleveland, Ohio on WHKW. Jake, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
How you doing?
All right. What's your question or comment today?
I just wanted to say I heard you had some negative callers, and I really felt compelled to call because I'm reading a book by John Eldridge right now called Waking the Dead, and he talks a lot about how Jesus used parables to relate to the people of his time, and we don't – not everybody's a farmer. Not everybody's, you know, sewing their own clothes. Not everybody's doing these things, and we have – you know, things like Star Wars in our culture that we can use to relate the gospel to people. And I think, you know, Jesus set a good example of that, and there's no reason why we can't follow that formula.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jake. I mean, I don't agree with everything that John Eldridge does. I think that John Eldridge has some dangerous points in terms of this risk-taking God and some dangerous ideas about your heart, about the goodness of the regenerate heart. But I'll tell you what, I think John Eldridge is onto something when he says that you do need to pick up on what the culture is talking about and find where it's coming from. I mean, that's very different than just kind of parading Christianity under whatever cultural fad is out there. It's something else to say, you know what, I can tell you why you like this. I can tell you why you like lightsabers. You know, I was the 9-year-old kid with all of the Stormtrooper action figures and the little Yoda figure and the light up lightsaber running all through my house in Biloxi, Mississippi, fighting Stormtroopers and what have you. Now I know why I liked that. The reason why I liked that kind of adventure and that kind of danger is specifically because we've been created in the image of God who fights evil and who fights evil self-sacrificially, even through the point of the sacrifice of his son, and through that blood defeating the power of an empire that is far more evil than anything George Lucas can imagine, but an empire going to be destroyed and is even being destroyed as we speak through the advance of the gospel. That's better than Star Wars. That's a war that's more ancient, more powerful, and more true. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be back tomorrow to engage the culture with intelligent Christian talk. This is the Albert Mohler program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.